Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will be on the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the follow button. Ulu members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs as well as topic suggestions for future programs. ULU's 2023 Annual Members Meeting and Convention will be held from Friday the 10th of March to Sunday the 12th. The theme for this virtual event is Reconnect, Recommit, Renew. Registration information is coming soon, so go ahead and put the date on your calendar, March 10 to 12, 2023. Remember, the event is for ULU members only. You have time to join ULU if you'd like to attend the event. I'm Sis Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion, What's in the News Family Oppression, is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of ULU. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm glad to be with you, Sister Q, and the rest of the family.
Oh, we're glad to have you here with us, Brother Thurman. What news do you want to share with the family tonight?
Well, to start off, I want to read a post that was put out by Sister Laini Mataka, who is a world-class poet in Banneker City, D.C., Washington, D.C. And it says, if most of the Chinese setting on the Chinese setting on the continent of Africa are men who came without women, what do we suppose is going to happen? And one person responded and said, it's already happening. And it went on to say that since most of the land is inherited to the African women, then we know what would happen. Now, there's a fix to that, and it's a fix. All of our problems as African people are solvable. We've just got to take the correct approach. And one of the approaches is the sisters, the Chinese, if they showed up, the sisters are not under obligation, and for the most part, they're not sticking a gun to the sister's head and say, you're going to marry me, and I'm going to have this marriage contract or whatever that entitles me to be an owner of your land. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up as something to think about, because we've got to be thinking about, and we got to be talking about some of everything, which is another topic, which is a real, real deep subject. To be in the mindset and calm enough and have a process to where we can talk about anything. We need to do that. So,
Brother Thurman?
Yes.
Speaking of what you're talking about with the Chinese marrying into the families and therefore owning land on the continent of Africa. I'm not sure how much of the continent operates in the traditional manner, but if I remember correctly, the father gives his daughter in marriage. And so it's, I think, some learning that needs to be done, male and female, so that fathers don't think in terms of marrying their daughters to these wealthy Chinese people because they have money, and that brings up the father's status. And then the daughter as well not desiring to marry someone or accepting someone. And then that goes into now rebellion in the culture, because the culture has always been that the father picked the groom for the bride. And then now we're talking the girl has to rebel against her father, which is something new again being introduced. So it's a lot to unpack in just that one scenario. And what do the children become? Are they Chinese children or are they African children? Do they follow the matrilineal or patrilineal? It's a whole, that's a very a very deep subject.
Yeah, well, we need to have a conversation.
Brought up that it's a lot to. Yeah, just about that one subject, it touches on a whole lot of things. So
yes,
thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you. And family, we can't get away from it. I mean, everything that's vital to our survival, to our well-being, we can't get away from it. And either we're going to be on the right side or we're going to be on the wrong side. If we're on the right side, then we're going to prosper and do well and be well. And if we're on the anti-us side of things, then we're just participating and inviting our self-destruction. And I'm looking at a picture in a commercial kitchen with some sisters and brothers. And they've got great big pans with yams and other things. And I'm looking at the sister got what probably is a 10-pound bag of sugar. And she's pouring that and butter on the yams. But the message we got to get, it says, we can't be powerful until we start eating right. We got to get the confusion out. We got to be on the right side of things. And too many of us are on the wrong side when it comes to the eating. And another thing that I want to read, it, and the sister wrote, it says, perhaps sickness, disease, and depression is in your pantry, not necessarily in your genealogy. And she says, read that again, that sickness, disease, and depression is in your pantry, your diet, and not necessarily your genealogy. Because when people get deceived, you know, by the medical institution, they go around and tell people, well, I've got this that's probably going to happen to me because it runs in my family. But most of the stuff that runs in people's family is because they all follow the same path generation after generation. And so if it runs in my family, whatever, high blood pressure and on, but they ate chitlins and cheese and cola and I do the same thing, then I should get the same results. And there's, it's been demonstrated that there's African people that have broke from that chitlins and cheese and soda kind of thing and went totally plant-based natural, and they're not having none of the problems, none of the problems. And so all of our problems are solvable. And I want to move to another subject, and this is about saliva. Saliva is very beneficial to the body in many ways. And you know, when we're not paying attention to that subject and not reading about it, we don't know it. But it helps to keep your mouth moist and comfortable. It helps you to chew, taste, and swallow. And it fights germs in your mouth and prevents bad breath. And and it has proteins and minerals that protect the tooth enamel and prevent tooth decay and gum disease. And in the subject of saliva, for some people, it gets into their sexual activity. But the research that has been done by some medical people says saliva is not a lubricant. The result can upset your vaginal microbiome and leave you susceptible to developing yeast infection and bacteria vaginosis. Any STI in the throat or mouth can be transmitted to the genitals through saliva. We wanted to pass that on as food for thought. And saliva is something that you can purposefully, especially in the morning, generate saliva to wash your mouth and to help set the tone. At some level, saliva has an antibacterial effect, and it has, for some people, been helpful in rebuilding their teeth over a period of time, which would be months, but it's from the result of saliva. And I was looking for the so saliva neutralizes acids in the mouth that break down tooth enamel by washing away acidic residue from the teeth. And when acid damages enamel, saliva repairs the tooth's protective surface in a process called remineralization. And so there's much to saliva, and there's a book called The Complete System of Self-Healing, and it also is called Internal Exercises, and it has an exercise for that you do in the morning with that generates saliva, and it helps to protect your mouth and the enamel and your teeth and other bacteria that would otherwise could cause gum problems and infections and things like that. And
good.
People look into it, and it's much to that subject.
Brother Thurman, you mentioned the diet that
yes.
our diseases are caused by our diet. And people think that our diets, that their disease conditions are hereditary. In like 1905, there was a guy that went all over basically the world. His name was Dr. Weston Price. He was a dentist. And he went all over the United States, and he did not find a single person with melanin who had diabetes. So we're talking, my grandmother was born in 1904, 1905, 1906, somewhere around that time. So around the same time he was doing this, my grandmother was coming into the world, and she did not come into a world where there was diabetes among melanated people in the U.S. So
yes.
We have to ask ourselves, how come we accept diabetes as being hereditary and we don't accept good health as being hereditary, where we have a much longer history of good health? And there's a brother, I don't remember his name. He is, I think he was in the Atlanta area, and he was, his book I think was a cookbook, and he called himself some kind of chef, but what he was doing was showing how cell anemia was actually the result of the way we were not eating our proper diet, and as a result of that, the blood cells were doing something different. And so he took all of the, they were traditional foods, but it was the way that we were preparing them that was making them not beneficial to us. So I'm going to see if I could find his name and find his, the title of that book or whatever, and put it in the notes on in the Ulu community for this program. But what you're saying is actually something we need to look into, that we, you know, we just accept whatever we're told. You know, it's hereditary. Okay, so I'm going to have it. We haven't always had it, and we've all, even in instances, we knew how to protect against it. That's what I wanted to say.
Yep. Good word. Next, I want to read an article that's put out by a powerful internet source of African people called, their group is called Reincarnated Ancestors. And it says, intelligence in the black community is having knowledge of self, which is attractive because it promotes love of self in the reconstruction of an ancient identity. Those of us who have awakened will admit to being a sapiosexual for blackness. We crave for intelligent conversation with a woke significant other, collaborating on many issues as foreplay, may crave astronomical, spiritual, metaphysical, historical, philosophical, political, and psychological discussions as a turn-on. While you may not be necessarily turned on in the conversation sense by a smart person who have freed themselves from the colonial system education that plagues the lives of so many black people, there's definitely something attractive when about someone who fight for us the freedom of black people in an intelligent way. There's a lot. There is a lot. Ooh, I just lost that. Let me get back to it. There's a lot different. There are a lot of different elements that go into someone being an attractive person, and black intelligence is the most attractive feature in a person for me. Shared interests communicate intelligence when someone intelligibly talks about something that we are interested in and it perks our ears. We like people who have shared interests, and this is one of the ways of in which intelligence can be perceived. Physically attractive is great, but without a knowledge of self, self-hatred is present, and the attractiveness diminishes over time. Having a knowledge of self promotes love and self-respect, not only to yourself, which creates a long-lasting relationship, but for others who are around you too. Sapiosexuals for Blackness knows that black relationships are more fulfilling when something more than physical attraction is shared. Black intelligence is substance, and that does not go away, and it can be shared forever. If that is not attractive, I don't know what is. He's smiling, and he says, time for mind sex. We ain't got to take our clothes off. It's time for mind sex, and we can just chat, relax, and have some good vibration, and let's have a good conversation. And that's something that's real, real deep, you know, when we focus on it, because when we ignore that kind of insight, we're missing some valuable pieces. And the next thing that I wanted to read is in that sex area is from the book called The Sex Imperative by Brother Mwalimu Baruti. And you can find him on social media, including Facebook, and he's the author of at least a dozen, probably more than a dozen, powerfully deep books. And as I said, his name is Mwalimu Baruti. Last name, Baruti, M-A-R-U-T-I. If you just type in Brother Baruti on Facebook, you find his page. And in The Sex Imperative, he's got some very, very powerful information, and we all need to take a stroll through that information. But this page I want to read and move on to other things. We have experienced 4,000 years of rape, and unlike the limited research many scholars would have us believe, this is not solely the work of the soldiers and traders scraped from the scum of Europeans who were partially paid in the currency of unlimited sex with captive Africans. Rape was found to be an act committed and enjoyed by Europeans in all class levels, in every occupation and religion, and by both sexes. Moreover, those who did not physically commit this crime against African humanity financed it. To begin with, priests were not only among the leading slave traders, but they also owned slave ships to carry the black cargoes to distant lands. Priests also had their harems of black girls, some having as many as 20 each, and they were called house servants by these holy fathers. Sailors and unskilled Portuguese laborers had their own quota of slaves, especially black girls. For let this truth emerge from the many facts which are buried, and let it stand out clearly. One of the main attractions that drew thousands of white men was their unlimited sexual freedom with all of the black girls and women who were enslaved and helpless of their masters. And I've got something I really wanted to get to, and I'm getting ready to read it now. And some of us want to honor these barbarians with an ancestral honor. Have you ever considered where the term missionary position comes from? Missionary position comes from. It came from the sexual position preferred by the European Christian missionaries who raped the women and girls on the continent and other places they invaded to civilize with Western religion. It was also the only position sanctioned by these missionaries for their new converts. Terms come into use because of widespread practice. Terms come into use because of widespread practice. The rape of African girls and women by European Christian missionaries was normal behavior, and because of the nature of this parochial education system and the historically homosexual practices of European males, the rape of African boys could have been nothing else but commonplace also. Africans in denial of these facts cannot lean on the point that great variation of skin tone exists on the continent as refuge from the truth, which means that the variation in skin tone has a lot to do with our ancestors being raped, and many of us have what one sister that's speaking out very boldly on the subject of my rape-colored skin. Many of us have rape-colored skin. So I hope that
you
people
keep
get
saying
it.
Past, you keep saying was, Brother Thurman, as if that doesn't
well,
still happen today.
It
that
still happens.
The all of the, whenever you think of like the World Health Organization or the UN or any of those organizations that go into Africa under the guise of giving aid or whatever, some people join those organizations because it allows them free rein to go and rape people. I mean, because they tell, you know, they won't give the aid unless you have, you know, if you want the aid, you have to have sex with me or whatever. So whenever particularly melanated people from the U.S. talk about how somebody needs to go into Africa to help them or do things for them, what they're basically calling upon is for these aid organizations to go and have free rein to abuse the people. So why my position is leave Africa alone. Let Africa handle its business the best way it can, because everything else causes confusion.
Yes. Right on, sister. And next I want to deal with this subject of oppression.
Before you go there, Brother Thurman, we have two hands up. So let me take these calls, and then we move into the next subject, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Calling the last four digits, 4600, please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question.
I'm calling from
Thank
the
you.
Midwest and the South. My name is Pianki.
Peace,
these
brother.
People aren't being these people ain't being raped today. You go to Gambia.
You don't think so? Uh-huh.
Definitely not. They have what's called sex tourists, where white women come down into those countries and meet up, and they have sex with them. They ain't giving, they not. And also, even during the time you talk about preceding and going up into the translegislature, Africans have always got rid of their riffraff. And if you committed a crime, a heinous act, and if you didn't pay restitution, you are either sold in order to compensate for what you've done, or you was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were sold off and didn't pay your restitution, they would put curses on you. And fetish priests would curse you. Now, I've been to Togo and Benin, and I've seen fetish priests in action. So a lot of that stuff that we hear people talking about just didn't happen that way. It don't make any sense. Hey, when...
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
My wife is Ghanaian. She's from the Volta region. She's Awe.
Mm-hmm.
Awe and Ashantis used to fight and still do in some cases, like cats and dogs. They hate Nigerians. I mean, that's just the way it is. They're human beings. That's what goes on. And when those sellers, when they drop anchor offshore and they rowed to the shore, they had to pay the chief what's called pay to paw in order to come ashore. You had to pay that king of that region. Then, if you're in Nigeria, you wanted to go into the interior, they would row you up the Calabar River into the interior. And families would offer their daughters to sailors. I mean, that's just the way it happened. I mean, it goes on today. I got a friend of mine who owns African Palace in Atlanta. He came from St. Louis. He had African Palace restaurant in St. Louis. His father had 100 children. Why did he have 100 children? Because families used to bring their daughters to him to impregnate because he was the king. And they wanted to be able to say that we have a sibling of the king. So they just do what human beings have always done. They do it here. You got women that would give their daughters up here in 2022 to their boyfriends or strangers for whatever. That's what human beings do. They do things that's good, considering. They do things that's bad, considering. And, you know, the gentleman was talking about saliva, and that's a real good point you made. Saliva is one of the immune systems. You got about three ways that virus and the bacteria, especially virus, can enter the body. One is through the mouth, which is where your saliva take over and start killing it. Another is through the nose. When you breathe in, those viruses get trapped in your snot. That's an immune response. Another way is through your ears. Your earwax is very, very bitter. That's poisonous to viruses. And the last way is through your eyes. That's when your eyes tear. You wake up in the morning, you have crust in your eyes. That's because you have had some foreign bodies trying to get into your eyes, get into your body by way of your eyes, and that tearing is an immune response, and it kills it. Body is very intelligent. And like I hear you speak about the diet and so forth, yes, people should eat accordingly and in moderation. But all through the history, people have ate all sorts of things, and they still do. Mm-hmm. It's a delicacy to them. Like people say ancient Egyptians. Well, another thing, like people say ancient Egyptians didn't eat meat and didn't eat. That's not true. You can go to some of those temples and see the OPEC festival, and on those platters, those tables, they got some of everything. In some temples, you can recognize fish, tilapia, catfish, bass, on the temple walls that were put there thousands of years ago. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. To the brother's point, what he said is quite true. What we were talking about is the rape scenario. He's talking about something different. So yes. I don't think that we should say rape never occurred. It did, yes. And it does in some instances. We have a second caller, and then a third caller joined us. So caller with the last four digits, 7204, please state your name, where you're calling from, make your question or answer your comment. Thank you. Okay, they don't
can you hear
to be there, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, there
hello.
You go. All right. Yes, peace. Good evening.
Good evening, my sister and my brother. How y'all doing this evening?
Glad to hear
very
you.
Well,
glad to hear you.
You.
Good. I love the conversation very much, but I think it's very, very important for where this rate started and why it is accepted so much. You have to go back to one of their oldest books, which is spread all over the world, and that's their Bible. it's okay to rape in the Bible. And that mm-hmm. spread all over the world. So we got to understand that the woman, the black woman, was put down. You know, she became last instead of first. Okay, and that's basically been the main people that was raped was the black woman. Okay? So I just, mm-hmm. you need to bring that out.
Thank you for sharing that.
Uh-huh. Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, sister. And we have one more brother Sermon. Caller with the last four digits, 3440. State your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Greetings, Sister Q, Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shabaka calling from South Florida. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, great. Brother, you got a topic and it's fueling a few things. I wanted to comment a little bit on the last brother that talked. I believe his name was Brother Pianchi. A lot of things of what he said is true, but I think he confused the context. You know, because, you know, we can look back 2,000 years in which Africa was invaded. As a consequence of that invasion, it caused internal chaos, all right?
Yes.
The destruction of empires clashing with other empires. And then, of course, the Europeans exploiting and encouraging because, as he said, yeah, there were tribes. So-called tribes that had conflict with others. The Europeans came in there, brought guns. They had artillery, which they could fire from the ships. All right. The Africans had never experienced or saw that kind of warfare before. But he takes it, I think he makes certain things out of context because he looks at our understanding of how we see things today of things that happened 1,000 years ago. So the things that happened 1,000 years ago, the psychological and mentality of people operating in 1,000 years ago is very much different than what it is right now. Like right now, I could go on the African continent and see a number of things which I can point to with the influence of the Arabs' invasion. Persian invasion, particularly on the east coast of Africa, all right, and I can look at certain kinds of things that happened on the west coast of Africa as a consequence of the European invasion, all right, and then I can see, you know, when you go towards the interior, all right, where even though there was movements, all right, there was reconciliation or how to deal with the movements. And so you have, you know, a number of ethnic communities living in harmony with each other because they worked out an arrangement how they could live together. In the modern context, there's a lot of slave trade going on with the transportation sexual exploits of females. All right, that's going on all over the place, all right? And the Europeans start that. The same thing, when I say started that, they carried it to the greatest height. Because remember now, I said Africa had been invaded, you know, going back 2,000 and even further years, all right. And as you know, as the invasion comes in, the deterioration internally and plus the deterioration of being external, in other words, the cooperation that once existed no longer exists, the breakdown in the kingdom or empire structure, the tribal structure, all right, and then the chaos would pursue, and then the coming in contact with other ethnic groups. So, I mean, that's all to say that a lot of stuff can happen, but when we are explained to certain things right now, we don't see that. All right, and we don't understand that because we've been operating in a European paradigm, all right, which doesn't look at that. All right. The female was the most respected, and the power that she held as a consequence before the European and Arab invasion in particular, all right, as a consequence of her position in the family, she took care of both males and females. Okay. And, of course, when a portion of the society became patriarchal, and then when you hook that up with the invasion, you know, from another patriarchal culture, all right, then you can see the imposition. So I'm saying a lot of what the brother says, so I'm not going to dispute what he says, because I've had seen some of those then contemporarily when I visited Africa. But by the same token, I went further. You know, I had to study, all right. See, how did it come on? Because see, you don't come out your mother's womb wanting to rape females or rape males. You don't come out your womb like that. You have to be trained, conditioned, all right, by the most vile nature of people possessing those qualities, so called, all right, to impose that. And so he had a brother look at that, but see, I think that has been an argument, and I'm going to stop here and have you comment, particularly an argument to say that we owe nothing to Africa, but, you know, Africa, we owe everything to Africa, all right, such that it focuses us on we don't owe anything to Africa and owe here, but we're in the most vile country I've ever seen, all right, so I don't really want to have any association with when we see the consequences of, in modern-day tradition, what this country is capable of doing. It is right now engaged in the death of millions of people as a consequence of the fake COVID epidemic, all right? Millions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of black people, you know, for reverence. Yeah, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
I said don't forget about the time.
Okay, yeah, yep. Let me get off here. I've been talking for too long now. Thank you. Like people will, and I'm going to end on this, people will, you know, jump on the Republican Party. Well, it's a party controlled by Europeans, and not jump on the Democratic Party, who's responsible for the imposition of a lot of poisons being introduced, and people are dying. I mean, in the tens of thousands right now, and as we're talking right now, as a consequence of their injection. People don't know this because they don't study. So I wanted to say that, you know, when we talk about things, we've got to put it in context. Everything has a beginning. Everything is impacted from what came before. And then, of course, when people come together from different histories, different views, all right, eventually they work things out. All right. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share, and at least from my perspective, correct some of the things that the brother said. Although a lot of what he said is true. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. Anything you want to say regarding what Brother Shabaka shared, Brother Sherman?
Well, one of the things that he said, you know, just in the end, is that we've got to be able to separate, you know, two different situations, you know, what Brother Bianchi was talking about and what I was talking about in terms of what the missionaries did and the European invaders did is two different circumstances. Mm-hmm. And Brother Shabaka, you know, brought it forth that a mindset, a change of mindset, and Brother Shabaka said it so well to say that we weren't born out of the womb to be anxious to go and rape somebody. It's something that had to be implanted in our head, which is real, real, real serious. And thank you, Brother Shabaka, and thank you, Sister Deborah, also with what she was talking about. And so we've got to have this, you know, get the, you know, clarity, you know, as Brother Shabaka was bringing forth. And get the confusion out of our mind so that we can go forth and be free. And we can't be free with confusion and confused thoughts, confused lifestyles, you know, including the diet and everything. And so just like when I read from the book, The Sex Imperative, about the missionary position, most people never crossed their mind. Where did that name come from? But it came from some racists.
Right.
And so oppression is one of the topics for tonight, and the time is running out. And it's a lot to
the subject.
Well,
you know, you actually have until 11 o'clock, so you can take your time.
Yes, sister. I got that. And oppression, in terms of giving a definition, is the exercise of power in a cruel or unjust manner. And people use the term oppression, and for some time you can find people writing and speaking and posting things about comfortable oppression. And comfortable, some sort of definition of the word comfortable, we are socialized to accept oppression as normal. We become model members of the unjust society. I'm going to read that again. We've become those that accept the oppression as normal, become model members of the unjust society when they accept things as they are, and they gain comfort, they gain money, they gain connections and power when they accept things as they are. And so that word comfortable oppression is used, you know, quite a bit, because it's speaking to people that have become model members of the unjust society, and they accept things as they are, and they are content with comfortable oppression. When it comes to the subject of oppression, very few, and I just don't recall anybody ever speaking of uncomfortable oppression. And uncomfortable is something that you're not okay with. It doesn't allow you to relax. And if there are those who are model members of the unjust society, and they're getting their benefits, including money, there's also, talking about African people, those that are going through this oppression and the oppressive system, and they're uncomfortable with it. They're comfortable oppression, the fans of that, they applaud and celebrate and spend a whole bunch of money and do a lot of unhealthy eating to celebrate the European celebrations and religions and lifestyles and things like that. Whereas those that are uncomfortable with their oppression, they wouldn't dare celebrate such things because they know that it's oppression. And I'm not saying that there are those that would be in the category of uncomfortable oppression, that I'm speaking of people being in the mindset that they're just stressing out about everything that happens. I'm talking about really being on the higher side of thinking and calmness, to where you know it, but you're not running around in circles just dwelling on it. What you're really doing is going forward to stop it, to stop the madness, and you're uncomfortable with the madness. And so I just wanted to add into the subject about the conversations that's often brought forth about comfortable oppression, but there's also people that are uncomfortable with the oppression, uncomfortable with the European holidays and celebrations, and the sickness that's the result of that. And then there's so many levels, so many variations of that word oppression that's used in different areas, and one of them is cultural oppression. Cultural oppression, the social transmission of false beliefs, values, and ideals about how we live. Oppressive institutions depend on these things being done, the false beliefs, the values, and the ideals about how to live. And we've got to break free of all of these cultural oppressions, because when you culturally oppress people into the beliefs and lifestyles of the oppressor, they cancel out their own cultural values that would keep them centered. And going further with cultural expression and oppression, and these are the words of ancestor African Ahmed Sekou Touré, and he says, "Don't say culture without making a distinction between Western European culture and African culture. African culture puts Africans at the center, and rightfully so, but does not alienate other cultures that have ideas for the best of humanity. Western culture is self-centered, and for example, God Bless America is self-centered. It's self-centered about Europeans, Western culture,
mm-hmm.
and it's not including, it's not intended on including, you know, what's in the best of humanity, including what's the best for African people. And when one suggests we should mix with Europeans, you see, this subject about oppression, there are African people currently that take offense to us speaking historically accurate evidence-based information about the behavior of Europeans in the past and currently, and they want us to mix with Europeans. And so Ahmed Sekou Touré says, when one suggests we should mix with Europeans, the question is, what result you hope that will produce? If you don't think this would make the world a better place, we have already taken on European culture. So the subject about mixing with them, and we need to ask, what will it produce? And will it make the world and the African world a better place? And if the answer is no, then those that would believe in such a thing, they have been duped and misled. Look at the world today. The key is to divorce Western culture and not renew the wedding vows of Western culture. Divorce it and do not renew those vows. Culture is a more effective weapon than guns for the purpose of domination. For it was scientific, technical, and technological culture which produced the guns. The prerequisite of any domination, exploitation, and oppression is the denial to the oppressed man or people of his or their human attributes and therefore, in the first instance, cultural activities. And what he's saying there is that when we have been dominated and we are in denial of our human attributes and also in culture, then we just do away with our cultural activities, and our activities are centered around the invaders and the Europeans. And I want to continue on. This is from a brother, Omo Abba. One must never be a member of the devout opposition to one's own culture. And it's saying that we must never be a member to the opposition of one's own culture. But we got a widespread problem amongst the Africans because they've been socialized to be like that, and we've got to break free of that. And Brother Sekou Touré got a powerful book called A Dialectical Approach to Culture, and at some point we really need to get into that. And the first step mm-hmm. to getting free is admitting that you have a colonized mind, and you have to accept that pretty much everything you come to understand about the human experience was taught to you from a white capitalist patriarchal frame of thinking. I don't know if we got any more calls or not, Sister Q. And also,
no, we don't. Not right now.
And also, I had talked about African people that probably wouldn't call themselves African people that want us to mix with Europeans, and they are loyal to the European way, and they think that we would solve our problems and have peace if we all just mix in together. But mixing in together is some of what was done with the missionaries and the other crew members of kidnapping and capturing Africans to enslave them. They raped them, and that mixing in together did not help preserve African genetic strength and the DNA of Africans and the melanin and everything. It helped to weaken it, not strengthen it. And so mm-hmm. those who would argue about those that want us to preserve African genetics and DNA and culture and all of those good things that we had before the invaders think that all Africans that speak truthfully about Europeans, the priests, missionaries, that we hate them. And hating anybody and anything, the first thing it does is it causes a disturbance within your mind, body, when you hate somebody. And there's a difference between defending yourself by any means necessary versus you don't have to be a hater of them. You just take the position that if a bear or whatever invader comes after you, you do what you have, whatever is necessary and whatever's needed to get them off of you, and like Malcolm talked about. And this piece says, I have no enemy, I have no energy for hate. I either love you, wish you well, or hope you heal. And it's a powerful message because, you know, at the minimum, when it comes to the mindset of the Europeans, we can hope that, if nothing else, that we can be the model to help them heal their mind and their ways. 4 minutes. There are sisters and brothers who would otherwise qualify, and this is about uncomfortable oppression, meaning we're not, this is about bringing some clarity of how we would look at things when we are uncomfortable. We're not okay with the oppression. We're not okay with comfortable oppression. And there are sisters mm-hmm. and brothers who would otherwise qualify to be chosen to be a complement in a sincere, loving, and loyal relationship, ruin that opportunity due to a socialized, loyal commitment to European ways of thinking, behaving, celebrating, worshiping, and spending. All of these ways enriches the European. Instead, we must be loyal our entire life to the total restoration of African freedom and sanity for the people and for the planet. And I add that when the people are not free, neither is the planet. People have been polluted in mind and body, so has the planet. And when we restore freedom, we must restore the cleanliness, not just of our mind, body, but our environment, and that includes the planet. And do we have the power to resist this madness? Yes, we do. And our power is magnified when we as a group stand up, resist, and nurture our powers spiritually, mentally, physically, nutritionally, and economically. And I would add that ULU has brought forth a powerful cooperative economics model. With our collective participation, we can take economic control of our communities all over the planet and employ our own people, pay them fair wages and dividends and more, while no longer being at the mercy of others. ULU is for us and only us. To become a member of ULU, you cannot just sign up and become a member. You have to apply, and you have to be vetted. And part of the vetting process is to verify that you're truly genetically Black African, because we must do, there are those that object to us coming together as a group of African people to do things collectively, just us. They think that we should include the Europeans in everything that we do, but historically that hasn't worked for us. We've got to be able to build and set the model for our nation building and nation everything about the land, the structures, the roads and whatever that we must have. We must be the ones that design the blueprint for that. And family members, thank you so much. And remember, you are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of your choice. And if your choice is to mix in with the European, there's a consequence to that choice. But if we choose to rise up in love and harmony, and when we rise up on that higher level, we wouldn't be hating on each other. We wouldn't be fighting each other, killing each other, brutalizing each other, or battering sisters, or none of those kind of things, because we've got a choice. and the choice should be whatever is, as the ancient Africans spoke of, that you can use throughout your life, and that is whatever is in the greater good. And if the greater good is for us to be free, that's the choice that we should make. And I'll stop right there, Sister Q.
All right. Thank you for that, Brother Thurman. You were talking about comfortable oppression, and the only thing that was coming in my head was people walking around with masks, because the people trying to kill you told you to cover up your face and cut off your breathing, and you did it. And not only did you do it, you got mad at people that wouldn't. So that just shows how much work you got to do.
Yes,
I want to thank everyone. Thank you for the conversation tonight, Brother Thurman. And we want to thank everyone who joined us for this evening's conversation. And we'd like to invite you to come again next Thursday evening, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Thank you so much, Sister.